This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan, guess what?
What up?
We have a problem.
What is it?
Recent studies have shown that testosterone levels are falling in American men.
Of course they are.
Very interesting. Low T is linked to depression, low sex drive, and weight gain, so it's important to stay on top of it. You can go to a TRT clinic, but it's expensive, awkward, and in most cases, it's not even necessary. You just need to stimulate your body's own natural testosterone production. So you know what it's time for? It's time to check out the ultimate test stack at LegacySups.com. The majority of testosterone release occurs when you sleep, which is why the ultimate test stack is the best natural test boost system available today. Test X9 stimulates testosterone. T-Assist controls estrogen, and Recovery PM gives you the best night's sleep you've ever had. You're going to feel like a new man after trying the ultimate test stack for 30 days. If you don't believe me, check out all the verified 5-star reviews from satisfied users just like you. And because Legacy are friends of this show, you can save 10% off your entire order at LegacySubs.com now by using code K100. That's LegacySubs.com. And the code is K100. It's time to level up with Legacy.
You know, Disco, you brought up the ultimate test stack, of course. I just wanted to say that I'm on the shredded stack, which is the Test X9, the X-Lean 5 Fat Burner, and then Recovery PM to help you get better sleep. And as I've said on the show before, since I started with Legacy Subs and everything, I dropped 25, 30 pounds. I'm feeling a lot better. I have a lot more energy. And I've had people DM me privately too to ask for my recommendations, and that's what I tell them. It's well worth it.
Here's the other thing. It's something that's working because people are coming back to use it and use it. We all use it. Like we've said before, there's nothing on our show that we're selling that we don't use ourselves. So this is really good, depending on what you're trying to do, whether it's, for energy, for losing weight. Like in Joe's case, I bust his balls. You know, he looks better than ever. And this stuff works. You know, the proof in the pudding is people keep coming back and purchasing it.
And remember, just before we wrap up, that the K100 code for 10% off isn't just a one-time deal. You can use it as many times as you want. If you hit a subscription and use the code K100, you get 10% off every month or every 2 months, whatever your subscription is. So the code, it will never end.
So if you want to... So if you want to look fit and trim like Joe, or you want to have the amazing cognizant abilities of our boy here, the superior one, check out Legacy Subs.
And let's not forget that our listeners are using this product and improving their health. And as Nick said, we're like one of the number one markets for his products. Mm-hmm. So we're keeping him in business. And it's all to you guys. And it's a credit to you guys. And the more fit and healthy that our listeners become, the longer we can do this podcast and the longer you can be patrons.
Everybody wins.
But nevertheless, Nick is still on probation and he's still on the DISCO list. None of that gets him off of that.
Good decision.
That's, I think, even more important than anything.
That's a fair decision.
Yes. All right. So get your Legacy Subs at LegacySubs.com. Boom.
Oh, that's kind of crazy. Did you see that? John Cena has his 20-year anniversary, and they put some comments from Paul White and Brian Danielson on the show.
Oh, that's cool.
All right.
Here's just something real quick I was thinking about, because I've seen, even in that DISCO thread for Madden, people that say, if you're back in WWE, you're supporting a known rapist and shit like that, you know, about Vince.
Who's that?
Just some tweets I've seen.
Vince is...
Yeah, they're calling, right. Like, Vince is a rapist is what they're saying. But
right.
I mean,
who do you rape?
I don't know. Whatever in their mind, you know. Well, there's that story about him in the 80s with the limo driver chick or whatever the fuck it was. But
okay, but supposition is one thing and actually doing it is another. So, right. I mean, we don't really know that, do we?
No, but what I was thinking of was recently.
If somebody were to say, hey, fucking Joe molested some underage girl and it's not true, but it keeps floating around. That doesn't make it true.
That doesn't make it true, no. But what
well, this I want to talk. This go ahead.
Just that you know, it came out recently that Shad Khan donated over $1 million to Trump's campaign. Now, how do these AEW fans
that's old news though. That's
how can they still support the company if they're so, you know, a lot of them are so anti-Trump and stuff? If they want to blame other businesses for who their CEO is, you know.
We talked about this. It's like it's the wave. The media wave comes in. Remember I told you that the people wouldn't be talking about Vince anymore after like 3 days?
Yeah.
Is anybody talking about Vince anymore?
Not on that scale that they were, no.
No, of course. They just said, bro, it's like people just – something happens. It's like, okay, it's like we spotlight things on social media. Okay, this is a story today. And everybody chimes in and everybody goes back 15 years. I look at this and everything. And then something else happens. Everybody just drops. It's like you literally like you're dancing with a girl at the club. And another hot girl comes in and you shove the girl aside. You just go dance with the other girl. You know, like that. That's literally what social media is like, the way they promote like things for people to just discuss and argue about all the time. And it's like the discussions and arguments are getting stale. They'll put something else that you can argue about.
Of course.
It's like, bro, you can't sit there and say that like you can't watch what's going on here, like on social media and television, and not think that they're just trying to divide everybody. Right. And when it gets to a point, that's what I'll talk about. It's like when it gets to the point where you start dividing people and you start telling people, okay, now we need to go, we need to protest. Okay. And it's like me and Conan have obviously very different like perspectives and sensibility on like protesting things. When I was in WCW, I was a guy that basically do what you're told. I probably got buried a lot more than I should have. I didn't really speak up for myself. I'm the type of guy that was always thought, okay, hey, I made it in wrestling. I work for the company. I'm just going to do what they tell me to get paid.
Yeah, enjoy the ride.
Conan was a very different animal. If he didn't like what he was doing, he would make it well known. He would protest. He would you know what I'm saying? It's like he'd make his voice known that he was not happy with what's going on, right? And a lot of people respect. I respect that. I probably should have done that when I was, I was getting buried more. Like when I had the TV title, and they gave me the TV title, and they didn't really book me like the way I should have. I think like the first match I had was a match against. It was TV title versus U.S. champion in a non-title match against Kurt Hennig, and they wanted Kurt to take most of the match.
Right.
And I was like, all right, that didn't. Well, what's the point? And then, why'd you guys give me this belt, right?
And then you lost the belt the first time, they had Saturn beat you bad in like 7 minutes, just annihilate
right,
so, you. Yeah.
But I got it back. Right. I guess that. But
did
they didn't
back,
tell me at the time, hey, he's going to squash you, and you're going to have a rematch in about 6 weeks, and you're going to win it back. You know, so but they didn't say that. You know, and I don't even know if they were even thinking of that at the time, right? But it's like when the media and like social media and stuff, everything like starts, you know, like having people like protest and stuff, and like we say like protest and stuff, and you know, I just see the way protests happen today, right? And I just cannot wrap my hand around the logic of. Perfect example, and I don't want to talk about abortion, but the abortion protest statement, we're not going to get in that. But the abortion protests cause people to go out, you know, people go out and protest. But like, my question is like, all right, why are you protesting in California? California's legalized abortion. They're not changing it. You got people literally going out in the middle of the street, blocking traffic in California where protests, we're like, what are you protesting? Right. And I think what the problem is that what the concept of protesting has done these days is, bro, you just get like it just gets people that are just assholes out to just go out in the streets and just be assholes. And like it draws the wrong crowd. It's like when you look at like overseas, when a government's saying you see these massive like million people, they're out protesting. They're not like breaking everything in their. In right. Their neighborhood.
Well, it's almost and like you said, it's almost like you give an excuse for the fucking mentally deranged or the fucking or anarchist or people that just want to cause damage to join the fray. It's almost like, you know how there's a war in Ukraine and Russia, right? Mm-hmm. Some American mercenaries decided they wanted to go over there and defend Ukraine. So now you got all these mercenaries going over to fucking Ukraine. And you've seen this in other countries where like when the United States was in Arab countries, people from other places, from Chechnya and other people would come under the flag of the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, and they were getting all these fucking wild lunatics to help the cause. And that's what you do. You get a lot of this riffraff that's out there, you know, rioting and starting up shit. And you got anarchists up there and shit like that. And, you know, but I think in California, I'm thinking, I have no idea if what I'm saying is true or not, is the reason that you see them protesting. I think they're trying to say, hey, we're with the other states. We're probably. With you. California is with you. We're the most populous powerful state because they're the eighth largest economy in the world.
Because to get down to the crux of what they actually do in protests these days, right?
Oh God.
You're in California. Obviously there's like-minded people that agree with this and stuff and things, but they're not out protesting. But bro, you're out like in the streets blocking traffic so the people that agree with your cause can't get to work on time.
Right.
Right.
And I'm like, what? And the thing is like we don't see the media like you know promoting like, hey, that's not a good idea, people. Like if we're there's no message of like the media has changed to where they're like they're not even saying like hey we need to relax they inflame everything and they like drive people to do stuff like this and stuff like that. And I just think like you know it's just very strange how you can take people that are indoctrinated on social media indoctrinate on the media and you can get them out in the streets like off of social media to actually doing things in public. And like when I'm seeing like the protests, the riots, and like you're destroying property in your own neighborhoods and stuff, everything, it's like I can't understand why our media does not try to like down like hey look we need to stop this. There's no messaging in preventing that, and it's like I don't think these things are genuine. Like causes.
Yeah, well, not just that, bro. And like when you talk about media culpability. How about the fact that they're getting dragged on the fact that that fucking lunatic outside of Brett Kavanaugh's house who is caught with like a – bro, I couldn't believe it. The guy had a knife, a pistol, zip ties, pepper spray,
yeah,
duct tape. Motherfucker, he came prepared, and he said he was going to kill the guy over the abortion thing. And the thing is the protesters have now posted the addresses of all these fucking Republican appointed judges. That's going too fucking far.
Yeah.
Right. And you can't get everybody to agree that's not going too far. Right.
And like, not only that, the meat.
Right, right.
That's cool for them, you know. And you know, both sides are to blame because you know, I'm not a big fan of fucking Representative ACO.
AOC.
AOC, I'm sorry. AOC. But you know, she's she said something that I have no problem with when she was talking about Kavanaugh. And who's the other guy?
Gorsuch. Yeah.
Yeah. That
and Alito. You know, yeah.
When they were under oath, they were like, oh yeah, you know that they weren't going to overturn the Roe versus Wade Wade thing. And then when they got in there, they did it. That's lying, you know? And she says she thinks that's an impeachable offense. And so do I, because now justices are going to be like, okay, we'll lie under oath to get in. And then once we get in, we'll do what the president asked for, because he packed that court, you know? And the good thing is Biden doesn't want to play that game. They actually asked him, do you want to pack the court? And he said, no.
It's a slippery slope with that. Then what did you do?
Of course it is, right? Because it gets worse and worse. Next thing you'll know, we'll have a 60 fucking Supreme Court justice. It started off with six.
Right, we'll have 252 House representatives, 50 senators, and 60 Supreme Court justices.
But that's almost what they're forcing us to do. This conservative thing that's been being built little by little, and Trump's the one that really built it, you know, is getting out of hand, you know? And at the end of the day, they're not accountable to anybody. To nobody, bro. That's the highest court in the land.
You can't, like, that's the
thing. And now they're playing, they're doing the same thing politicians are. They're doing partisan politics instead of putting country before politics, which is what we want our fucking appointed leaders to do. I'm so disgusted, so pissed off. I can't believe that there isn't a bigger anger over this, but this is complete bullshit.
Right. But, and then still the thing with me, with politics and stuff and thing, and this the thing I'm still worried about. I'm still like this abortion stuff. I tweeted a couple provocateur questions to see if people were engaged. I don't care. I'm a guy. I'm not have to worry about abortions and everything. But still my own.
And I have no problem leaving it to states. I really don't.
No, I said that like 3 years ago because it's such a divisive issue. It should be left to the people around where you live. You know, like in your home state, around your neighbors, like let them all decide, right? Instead of sending the federal government put a blanket over everybody, where there's different sensibilities in California than there are in Georgia. You know, there's different in New York than it is in Texas. It's like you give just so those have different laws there, you know? But the thing is, like, let me finish. Like, but the thing that I'm still like I tweet about politics, but the only thing I still only care about as a political issue is free speech. And like being able, like, you know, because we're on the airwaves every week. You know, we come on here and something, and it's like I just cannot stand the fact that, like, you know, I have to really negotiate around what I have to say so I don't enrage a bunch of people to, you know, come online and attack me and attack my character. And it's like I don't think that's like that. That's not the type of America that I'm like for. And whichever party, like, bro, even if the Democrats were free speech and just said, hey, we're going to, you know, I would vote Democrat. It's the only thing I care about, because it's all I really, seriously, beyond like our daily lives, is this kind of like the only important thing that this is the most important thing in our lives right now, is being able to podcast and speak our minds, as opposed to being a podcast and being restricted in things we have to say.
And we've already been restricted on shit we can say.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like I don't like the way that's going, and I just like
right because like, we grew up in a different America, and it's like what is it turning into now? Is it communism?
It sure sounds feels like it. You know,
you got communism on one side, and you got authoritarianism on the other side. What are we mastatizing into?
Yeah. What if this is like
control from the left or control from the right?
Let me get into my conspiracy.
And I always say, which you actually like this. Where's the party me and Disco would like to belong to? The one that's right in the middle. Right. And a lot of people are with us.
Yeah.
I think it's called purple, right?
Yeah, purple. Purple, yeah. Well, purple states are like blue. You know, you got a Democrat governor, but a lot of Republican mayors and stuff, you know. Like, yeah, so it's like, yeah, it's just Florida's almost a purple state. It's been like kind of purple for a while.
Yeah.
Split right down the middle, you know. So it's like, I don't know, but we'll see.
What were you going to say, your conspiracy theory?
All right. So let's get the conspiracy theory. Okay.
Right.
You know how we're talking about how you can go like in Joe Rogan's podcast, it's like, or other podcasts. I've listened to some like the rise of artificial intelligence, right? And a lot of this stuff mirrors like the Terminator 2 type stuff, you know, like, so like, you know, what's like, there's a guy from Google recently that he got fired because he was talking about one of the AI programs became sentient, meaning it could think for itself.
Yeah.
Right. And then he said, oh, well, that's not true. You know, whatever. And they kind of like shut the guy down, like kept him quiet. Bro, when they talk about AI becoming like that important and basically becoming intelligent. Right. And this guy's already saying, hey, when there's a program here and I think that's like this computer is like is an intelligent life form. Right. What if the computers have already become intelligent? And like everybody, you know, we talk about like everybody talks about algorithms, like, you know, these algorithms. What if it's like the computers have become intelligent enough to develop the algorithms to drive human beings against each other?
That's pretty wild.
And they're trying to force human beings into physical conflict with each other to create the takeover of the artificial intelligence and the computers.
That's a great theory and should be a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's true?
Yeah,
right.
Like, but bro, we talk about like
that's what I said. It's a great theory, though.
Well, like I said, Google has all these YouTube, all these social right. media platforms,
and we saw on Facebook that was happening.
Had these algorithms, and good point. I'm like, all right, let's see could you imagine how complex these algorithms have to be to create this division that we're seeing like on YouTube, Google's, everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, what if it's all, like I said, what if it's already happening?
Right. And it goes back to what I was telling you before, where that one guy was saying that, you know, it's going to come a point where the machines are so smart, they will take over.
And like, what if we're in the,
he said this in the 60s.
Their plan is in effect right now.
Right. Could be.
Because, you know,
you can't discount anything, bro.
Right, yeah, right.
Could be.
Yeah, so that's my theory. So.
Yeah, right, but cool. We're too busy, you know, watching Pornhub and shit.
Right.
Okay. You know, I read this the other day and I was like, I was very, what would be the word, surprised. Where is it? Because I actually had to write it down because it's too much for me to remember. Okay, listen to this, bro. This is how dangerous Mexico is, okay? It was the fifth consecutive year that a Mexican city was the most violent in the world. Zamora was the murder capital of the world. This is in Mexico, okay?
Where is Zamora geographically?
It's in a place called Michoacán. It's like the north.
I know where Mexico City, Monterrey, Tijuana. What's it near?
It's like northwestern, maybe 5 hours from Mexico City.
Okay.
So
it's near our border.
Five to seven. That's not near the border. It's like right in the middle.
Okay.
And then the only place that has had a higher murder rate than Zamora was Ciudad Juarez in 2010. Okay. Right. The second most violent city in the world is Ciudad Obregón, Sonora. A lot of narcos there, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Ranking as the third most violent city in the world, Zacatecas. Okay.
These are all Mexico.
These are all Mexico. All right. And these are the other five Mexican cities that made the top 10. Tijuana, Celaya, Ciudad Juarez, Ensenada, Uruapan, Michoacán. Tijuana was Mexico's most violent city in terms of total numbers of homicides. And the only other two non-Mexican cities in the top 10 were St. Louis. That's where that dirty dog Henry Hubbard is from.
No,
and Kingston, Jamaica, which ranked 9th and 10th. Holy shit. 1 through 8 were all Mexican cities. How wild
Chicago,
is that?
And then, like, and then think about how
Chicago.
Bad.
Chicago.
But that's what I'm saying. Think about how bad we think Chicago is.
Right.
Just imagine how bad these places must be.
Right.
I got like, bro, like, and honestly, you know, it's not like border security is not, you know, like as problematic as people think it is, because when you're on the border of a country where 8 out of 10 most violent cities are in that country, it's like, our neighbor, well, our neighboring countries. Like,
let me ask you a question. And they have strict gun laws, unlike the United States
and
Mexico.
I want to ask you that. Like, you know, there's a lot of like, do they have concealed carry in Mexico?
No.
Like you can't carry.
Maybe
a gun.
if you were a cop, maybe.
Okay. What are the gun laws like in Mexico?
They're pretty stiff, bro. And let me look it up right now. You like only criminals have it and shit. You don't really see mass suicide and
that's the thing. It's like we have a gun culture in our country, but it's like these other countries with strict gun laws have more violent.
That's because you have organized cartels. We don't really have that in the United States, and the ones that
we do have that.
But the ones that we do are controlled by the FBI, the DA. They're all in it together, bro.
Well, here's the thing: like a couple years ago, the United States. And the funny thing is, I don't know if this was weird because I read that the United States had 1.5 to 2 million violent gang members, okay, which was way bigger than like you could combine a bunch of other countries and like to have look at their gun laws, everything. They don't have to deal with it. What percentage of violent gang members are there in Mexico?
Okay, let me just read this to you real quick.
All right,
remember I told you they're kind of strict.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the current legislation sets the legality by which members of the armed forces, law enforcement, and private citizens may acquire, own, and possess and carry firearms. They include hunting and shooting sport participants, property and personal protection such as bodyguards, security officers, private security, and extending the VIPs, which are diplomats, public officials. Mexico has extremely restrictive laws regarding gun possession. There are only two stores in the entire country, DCAM near the cap. Huh?
Two stores?
In the entire country. Bro, I'm telling you.
Where you can go buy a gun?
Right. Only criminals have it there, dude.
Well, that's my – okay, well, let's –
Yeah, but what you understand is we don't have the influence that they have of cartels in the United States. Cartels have infiltrated all the way up to the president, bro. The president even protects the cartels.
They basically
that's why
said,
there's
hey,
so much – that's why there's so much – that's so – That's
like, don't
why
have
let
guns.
Me just say this. Right. That's why there's so much violence, because the president's getting a cut and he don't give a fuck. And the president before him and the president before him. And I guarantee you, if the president didn't play by the rules, they'd kill him.
Let me ask
it's
you
a whole different mentality down here, bro. I went to a city and I can't name the city. And I used to know all the capos back in the 90s. And I hadn't been to the city like in 10 years. And when I got there, I started to ask for all these people. And they were either dead or they'd been arrested. And the new guys knew who I was because they had heard of me from the older guys. And, bro, I couldn't believe it. They'd killed off all the old guys. And the new guys had taken over. And it's a new mentality. And they don't give a fuck. Their mentality is, we know we're going to die sooner or later, but in the meantime, we're going to have fun. And if we got to go down in a blaze of glory, we will. They really don't give a fuck. You know, they're dangerous and they're wild and they're rich and they're fucking, it's a very scary breed. And I'm glad I'm friends with them.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I know you don't like, the gun laws, we have
right.
mass shootings, but considering the amount of gun violence in Mexico, do you think if they made it easier for common citizens to carry or like to have guns, to have gun ownership, do you think that would increase or maybe like the
I think it would increase because when you put the hands of a gun on people that in a moment of rage or passion or anger have access to a gun. Cause I know if I would have had access to a gun, I probably would have shot a couple motherfuckers 1000%.
Really?
That's how angry
I got. Have you felt like you want to kill people before?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never felt the urge to kill anybody.
Right.
But I'm sure you being in Mexico and like wrestling on top. And
or in Miami
to, like,
when I was really? Young, bro, I was, you were tried
like?
A lot. You were just tried a lot,
Like give me an example of being tried. Tell me a story.
Well, I used to work with my cousins and they were like these big dealers in Miami. And, I had this. And so if you wanted any, I was never in a gang or I was in a gang banger or none of that shit. I was always like,
you're very educated. So you're probably decent school and stuff, right? Yeah.
When
you went in the military.
Not the most decent school, but good school.
But you got out of went in the military. So you were
right,
different.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So I went I remember one time that I was back then in Miami, Quaaludes was a drug that was very popular.
Right.
And I was selling him and this guy came up to me and he slapped the shit out of me. He was supposed to buy them and go in the club. And so he went out there and he slapped.
How old were you?
I was probably around 12 or 13.
You were selling Quaaludes at 12 and 13 years old?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
But I couldn't get in.
That's pretty common in the Mexico, the Miami drug culture
Cuban,
back then.
Whatever. Yeah. Well, to tell you the truth, everybody else was selling cocaine.
Right.
I wasn't really, if you wanted some, I could get you some, but I wasn't dealing with the
Who did you get it from?
from my cousins.
Right.
They were getting it from Colombians, straight from Colombians.
Right.
You know, so my cousins were big deals in Miami, and they taught me game. So I went, I was there, and I was working for my cousin. Okay, he was old enough to be in the club, and this guy came out there, and he slapped the shit out of me. He embarrassed me, and he took my pills, and he took my money, and he went in the club like he didn't give a fuck. You know, so I
like
called.
You're a punk little kid,
right?
How old was this guy?
He had to be over 18 because you had to be over 18 to get into the club. So I don't know. At that age, you can't really tell. Just
this is older than me. This age, late 70s.
I was a kid. He was a man. Yeah.
Yeah. Late 70s. Right. Yeah.
Right. Late 70s. Right.
Right.
So anyways, I tell the bouncer to call my cousin. He comes out. I tell him the story and he goes, well, that's on you, bro. If you don't know how to get your fucking shit back, I'm not going to get it back for you. He goes, teach that motherfucker a lesson. I go, well, I can't beat him up. And he had a piece and he gave me the piece. And I waited till the guy came out. He was with his bitch. And I was like, surprise, motherfucker. You know, all that money you took from me and all that shit you took from me, which you probably already consumed. Give me your fucking wallet. And I fucking hit him once with the pistol. My cousin was standing right there. And I hit him once with the pistol. And my cousin said, great job. And that was just how you had to do it back then, you know.
That's if they did a movie on your life story, it'd be pretty interesting. Like, think of all the genres that you would cover. The drug culture, Miami.
Right.
Military.
Right.
Then professional wrestling.
Right.
Yeah. Bro, you should really somebody should really write to do a movie about you.
They'd probably think it was science fiction.
Who would play you?
I don't know, but let me tell you, Miami in the 70s and 80s was very, very, very wild.
That wasn't far from reality, you know.
Right. And all my heroes were drug dealers because they all lived in the same condominium I lived in. So they were all like 15, 16 years old driving Corvettes. And back in Miami, Trans Am was a big car because of Smokey and the Bandit.
Isn't it funny that's never really changed?
Yeah.
Like when you're in these areas of high, the culture of when the kids are old enough, you got to get in with, what the community does. They're selling drugs. You're your cousin, Latinos have big families.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of that's the thing is when you go to restaurants, right? You go to a Mexican restaurant, there's always a lot of,
right,
families,
right, yeah,
Filipinos,
very family oriented. Yeah,
Filipinos are the same way. You go to the Filipino restaurant, there's like 15 of them.
And funny, when I would eat, and this is what I loved about Miami because it's so culturally diverse. So I knew Colombians and Jamaicans and white boys and everything, right? Mm-hmm. So I would go to everybody's house, and everybody has a different way of doing things, and they have different foods and they have different music. And the one thing I always notice about white families, which tripped me out a lot, was white families, they have no problem. Like, the kid eats in his room alone. The mom eats maybe with the dad. The sister eats in her room alone. You know what I'm saying? They're not really at the dinner table unless it's a holiday. And then they'd invite me over and shit. But Latino parents are like, all right, 8 o'clock, food's on the table. You ain't here. You ain't eating. And that was the way it was. You know, and if you weren't there, you were not eating, you know, and I knew that if I looked at my clock, okay, 8 o'clock, I'm not going to be home. I better get something to eat because there ain't no leftovers either, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird, you know, that even during that whole time, even though in Miami, he's got this culture of drug selling and stuff. And
it was very wild.
Still, families are pretty tight.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Which is probably why they're all doing it.
Yeah.
It's like your family's tight. You know, say, hey, we all got this.
Well,
is how
you know,
we're
the thing was,
right?
Here was the thing about that. There were a couple things that working in Latinos' favor. Number one is you didn't need a resume, really. You didn't need to go to college. You didn't need a reference from a restaurant. All you needed was somebody that had, almost like the mob, all you needed was somebody with power to go, hey, I vouch for this guy.
Right.
Right. So my cousins vouched for me. If I fucked up, I had to answer to my cousin, not to their boss.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I did not want to have to deal with my cousins. Okay. Right. I didn't want to let them down. They were giving me a big break and I loved them, you know, and I wanted to do good and I wanted to help them, you know.
Are your cousins still alive today?
Yes. Number two, my my mom experienced a lot of racism in Miami, a lot. She used to be a social worker, mm-hmm. you know, so I used to go with her to the jails and she'd have to interview prisoners and shit. The prisoners weren't really racist. It was actually the white staff that was there, you know, and they said a lot of shit to her in front of me, which I understood perfect English. And I just saw her suffer a lot. So I wanted to help her out, but I couldn't really give her a lot of money because she would know what I was up to, you know, because the word was getting around that a lot of the kids were selling dope. And if she would have found out I was, she would have fucking freaked. She kind of knew what was going on anyways. But anyways, yeah, those were the two things, bro. You didn't really need a resume. You just needed a recommendation. So, you know, it was kind of easy to get in. And number two, you were trying to help out the family.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.